This is Jim Thomas welcoming you to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. After some congregational singing, our speaker is William P. Robbins, who is a pastor and elder.
Let us consider now the matter of worshiping the Lord, and let me give you a scripture verse that may encourage you to think about this worship service and the subject at hand. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made the heaven and the earth. It's better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in man. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Amen. Now, this first hymn, Arise, My Soul, Arise. Our subject this morning is biblical commitment. And we need to properly worship our souls. Our souls need to be challenged. And this first hymn, 223, is a challenge to our souls. 223. Having done all that for us, he wants the all of us. And so let us sing, Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated. That's 492.
Let them flow in ceaseless praise.
we sing the last two stanzas and then remain standing for a prayer. And again, as we sing, remember this has to do about commitment, the last two stanzas.
Take my will and make it thine, it shall be no longer thine. Take my heart, it is thine own, it shall be thy royal throne, it shall be thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour, at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and thy will.
Now let us have congregational prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we ask this morning that as we have come and you've invited us to come to the throne of grace and of mercy, we to receive help in our time of need. We need this morning help for our weaknesses. We need to have renewed strength for our daily life and walk. We ask that you might receive our prayer and praise this morning, and that especially for your goodness to us in those realms that you made us spiritually and mentally and physically. We're asking that the Spirit of God may fill this place with unction and power, and that there may be a worship that will please you. So grant us enable us to see that this is just not a thing that we'd practice or do, but we desire to have your presence and your blessing upon us. And so we ask this morning, especially if those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ personally, that they may experience real salvation and peace. And so, our Father, we pray that you would encourage us and challenge us, even as we think about our blessed future home, heaven. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Now the question is, when it comes to commitment, who's really on the Lord's side? It's 493. 493.
Who will face
I've chosen this next hymn in light of the matter of biblical commitment. That is hymn number 537. What shall I render to my God for all of his kindness shown? It's 537. Ephesians chapter 5:23-33. Last Sunday I spoke on the matter of the design, God's design for marriage in Ephesians 5. And this morning I want to take an area that I believe we need to be impressed upon us, that our Lord will never leave us. And it has to do with the matter of marriage. And so in the midst of marriage, we have a description of the Lord Jesus. He's the husband, and the church is the bridegroom, or the bride. And so I'd like us to stand in honor of the Word of God and read together 10 verses. Well, not quite. But 22 through the end of the end of the chapter is 10 verses. Together, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his wife and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. This is the Word of God, and may we recognize it as such. Please be seated. The basics, my friend, for a satisfying, happy marriage is commitment. That's the real basic. That's the bottom line. It's not a matter of lovey-dovey or whatever. It's commitment. And vows are very important, and I need to stress this because I'm looking at this twofold. I'm looking at first as to the matter of marriage, and second to other realms. The matter of biblical commitment, what the Bible says. Now God, he looks at vows as very important. And he also holds us accountable to our vows. And the scriptures for those would be Numbers 30 and verse 2 and Deuteronomy 20 and verse 21. Not my opinion, nor your opinion. The Bible, God says, vows are very important, and I hold you accountable for them when you make a vow before me and before others. Now, we have probably all of us gone through a ceremony that we said we would, we vowed for better or for worse, or for richer or poorer, until death do us part. We said that. And Romans 7 makes it amply clear that that's the way it is to be. Now, the marriage then is something which is a public vow, and then there is the private consummations, a consummation, and that makes it. Now, I enjoy so much, and I invite you to turn with me once again to the back of the hymnal, to a page and a paragraph. It's page 685, and I think the old forefathers did a beautiful job in expressing what marriage is all about. And we'd like to see what the forefathers have said. Chapter 24, page 685 in the Westminster Confession of Faith, and also in our Confession of Faith, since we don't have one in our lap, but you should have our Confession of Faith. They're very, very similar. This second paragraph, man, is that ever important if you want to know what prayer is all about? What is it? Marriage was ordained for the mutual help of husband and wife. Well, what does that mean? That means that the wife is to be a helpmate, and she's a completer for Adam, because Adam was created first, and he needed a helpmeet. And he says, okay, marriage then together. That was ordained for a mutual help of husband and wife. I love that. It's not a one-sided thing, but it's a mutual completeness, completers together. Now the second thing, what's that? And it has to do that for the increase of mankind with legitimate issue. That is simply saying for procreation, for having a family. That's great. That's the reason for marriage, is that they might have completeness and they have a family, increase of mankind. And then thirdly, have the church with a holy seed. And that simply is saying to us that there may be a propagation of godly principles. Man, this generation needs a good dose of godly principles. It's gone down the drain. The matter of marriage has so slipped that we don't know what it's all about. But it is for completeness. It's also, my friends, the scripture makes it clear here, for family procreation, children, a family, and also for propagating the godly principles. I want to explain a little more of that Wednesday night, if the Lord pleases. And then lastly, is this matter of purity, and that is for the prevention of uncleanness. I tell you, if we're not wild on that thing, I don't know what I'm talking about. Uncleanness is everywhere, and so prominent. And the marriage is designed that to promote spiritual, sexual purity. I wonder if you heard me. Designed for that there be sexual purity. Isn't that wonderful? Just love that second paragraph on the matter of marriage and divorce. All right, back to our study in Ephesians and other scripture verses. Husbands, we went over this last Sunday morning. Tell me what you're supposed to do in light of Ephesians 5. Well, husbands, We're to be the heads of the family, headship. It didn't say dictatorship. But headship, as Christ is the head of the church. Oh, that makes a big difference, ladies. Just relax. That's a big difference. As Christ is the head of the church, that's the way the husband is to be, the head of the wife. And then we also understand from what last we studied is that the husbands are responsible for teaching their wives. Yee-hoo! I let the little lady take care of those mass things. I'm a working man. Don't you understand? No, I don't. I understand that we're to teach our wives. Now, does that mean we got to get our priorities straight, fellas? Maybe all of our sports interest and maybe all of our job success isn't the first place in our business. Headship and teaching the wives, the wife. Whoa. And we're also not only to teach them, but to meet needs. Meet needs. There's needs. I didn't say wants, fellas. I said needs. There's a great big difference. That's where we take care of needs. And then the Bible says we're to be very loving, fellas. Well, look at all the time you took to woo her and how you fussed about it and you treated it like she was the queen. But then when you got married for a few months, well, got to get at it, woman. You take care of that and I take care of that. Well, okay, enough about why husbands, if you want to know more about it, get the last Sunday's message and that may help you. But now wives, and what do we know about your responsibility as far as commitment to this matter of marriage? And then we'll talk about other things. Well, wives, we understand from what we read already that you're to be a completer. Old Adam isn't complete. He needs you. Isn't that wonderful? And you're to be affectionate. Why would you tell a woman that she has to be affectionate? Well, she's to be submissive. Now, I can understand that you might not need to press affection, but the submissiveness, you might have to study what the Bible says about it. Because look at verse 22, it says there, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband, but as unto the Lord. Oh, I like that. That's a good escape, ladies. As unto the Lord. You submit to your husband as unto the Lord. And that's full of meaning. And then if we go on down to verse 33 of this chapter, Ephesians 5, we find that the wives are supposed to be respectful. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife. See that she, what? Reverence her husband. Don't you tear him down. We've got a lot of faults. Come on. And love covers a lot of faults. Love covers a lot of sins. Don't you tear him down publicly. God says, you do, and you're going against my holy word. Look at verse 33. You respect him. He's what you've got. And you pray that God will just make him the kind of man he should be, biblically speaking. Not your idea or some person's idea, some author of a book or some preacher. It's what the Word of God says. Now, what does this all have to do with the subject this morning about a call or a challenge to biblical commitment? Well, in this matter of commitment, that word commitment is a very easy thing to get in your mind. It means to be bound. Being bound. So I don't like that. Oh, I didn't make the word. I'm just telling you what it means. It means being bound. Now, there's a difference between being bound and making a promise. Some people, I promised you, but I can't fulfill it. I'm sorry. No. A vow is not a promise. A vow is not a promise. A vow is a commitment. It's not flexible, and it's not so, well, I'm sorry. No. You're going to face God on this, not not some judge. You're going to face God on this matter. And it's a little bit like a couple illustrations. Some of us like to have old farm-type breakfast where we have potatoes and bacon and eggs. You say, boy, those eggs are good this morning. Thank the Lord for the hen that laid them. And that was a nice offering to hens. We enjoy the eggs. And that bacon was very good too, that ham. That was not an offering. That ham, that bacon you ate, that was a complete commitment. The life of that pig. Now there's a difference. You can see the difference between an egg and between bacon. The one is a gift, so to speak, an offering from a hen, but the matter of the pig giving sacrifice his whole life, a commitment. We're talking about commitment, not just some little offering. The Bible speaks strong about this. If I get a little excited, I feel that we've not really got into this. Well, you see, I do so. I expect when I call a man and say, hey, I need some plumber, you know, we come and you trust that he'll be committed, and he'll say, yeah, I'll be there tomorrow afternoon. Most of them don't show up tomorrow afternoon. Sorry. Around our area, they just don't quite make it. They're busy men, and I don't. But that's, we expect commitment. We expect the doctors to be committed. We expect our garage men put that car in there. We expect that car to be fixed. Commitment. Yes, sir. What? I'll pay for that. Well, that's nice. We have the need for that, and we just feel badly when there's not commitment in marriage and other realms. It just makes us feel badly. We expect commitment from others, but how are we? Let me ask you right at the very top of this message. Are you committed to God? Let's get right down to it, preacher. You're going to talk about commitment? Get right down to it. All right. You say, I expect people to be committed. Service people, for instance, and professional people. Well, then, all right, let me ask, so are we committed to God in our lives? You and me? That's a legitimate question if we're going to talk about biblical commitment. If anybody feels they've already arrived, you may go. You don't need to hear the rest of the sermon. I'm going to stay because I know that there's an area that some of us don't know what a commitment's all about. I'll tell you this, if you don't have commitment to God, you're not going to grow spiritually. You're just not going to grow spiritually. And it's sad, for I'm an old man, but it's sad when I see middle-aged children running around, spiritually speaking. And it's even more sad to me when I see aged people, aged children running around. Did you gray heads hear that? Aged children. That shouldn't be. Shouldn't be at all. I'm talking about spiritually now, biblically, commitment. Let me use an illustration. Motherhood. Now we're going to talk about commitment. Some of us know a little bit about it. We've witnessed having some children. We watched our wives. And that's a terrific maternal instinct, motherhood. It really is. I can't understand it. The Bible says in the last days there'll be a loss of motherhood. Some gals they've got so involved in things that they walk away from their children. I can't understand that. Instinctively, I can't understand it because I can see sociologically how powerful motherhood is. But we men, we don't have a lot of that. Oh, we love our kids. Come on. I didn't say that. I'm talking about the maternal motherhood. We men can't understand. In fact, the matter is, sometimes we say, I don't understand it. What's the matter? Well, we agreed we were going to have a family. Yeah, okay, that's good. But you know, since we've had children, since we had this child, My wife doesn't have any time for me. Oh, poor guy. No, she's busy all the time. We just don't, she just, it's all kids. It's all kids, 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 kids. It's not me anymore. Well, poor fella. Yeah, well, that's part of maternal instinct. But most of your wives can understand and see through that, and you do help yourselves in that, I know. But men, now we men, let's talk about we men folk. You women have maternal motherhood and maternal instinct. Motherhood, we understand, but we men folk, hey. Now, as far as commitment, you're committed to the kids, and what do we do? We get to work. That's right. And that we might be successful in our job, and that we make lots of money, and that we give the woman everything she needs. It's like a fellow teacher some years ago. I'll never forget this. He called me. He said, "Bill, teach for me today, will you?" And I said, "Yeah, sure." And he called me late, and I taught his classes. And then about halfway through the day, he came to school, and I said, "My word, what's wrong?" He said, "My wife." He said, "Bill, I do all this for her. Insurance, I work, I farm, I do all these things for her, and she has no time. In fact, the matter is, I believe she's having an affair with another man." Well, now let me ask you something. Before you get too hard on the little woman, we say we do it all for them. It's all for them. And we're working hard, isn't it? We're hard workers. But what about the affectionate, to be affectionate? You don't have time for her. You're a busy, busy, professional man. You don't have time for her. And yet I see you watching TV. "Well, yeah, sure, why can't I have a little relaxation? I work hard." Yeah, I see that. I understand that. I see you really get all excited about sports. "Well, it's a man thing. What's the matter with you?" Yeah, okay. We men are that way. Why? Hey, you have time to do what you want to do. Come on, let's face it. 24 hours, we all have the same time, and you got time to do what you want to do. And you can excuse yourself and rationalize and say, "I'm busy." But how much time do we spend with our spouses? So the point that I'm trying to make this morning is, number one, just give me number one. Number one, who takes first place in these lives of ours? So, preacher, I don't need to have an education to tell you that. God takes first place. That's fine. That's pretty good. I know your students. But you're to give him, love him with all your heart, mind, and soul. Well, I don't know about, wait a minute. That's what the Bible says. If he's going to have first place, you're to love him with all your heart, your mind, your soul. First place, number one. You say, "Well, I'm a Christian." Yeah, are you one of these Christians? I shouldn't tell tales out of school, but some of you will know this, but it happens. So you get a call and you go visit, and maybe at the hospital, and have prayer with them. There the family standing around, and you have prayer, and someone says, "He's a Christian. I can tell you that much, preacher. He's a Christian. We found a note in his Bible that 60-some years ago he went forward at a crusade, like a Billy Graham crusade, and he's a Christian." "Where has he been? Has he been to church?" "No, he's not been a church man." "Oh, that's interesting." "No, he hasn't, and he's not one of those open Christians. He's just a Christian." I'm sorry, I'm having a problem with that kind of rationale. And when I read this book, I get a problem. Maybe you don't have a problem. If I'm a believer, I'm to love the Lord with all my heart, mind, and soul. the lock, stock, and barrels where we put it back on the farm. And how do you figure out that if I made a little itty-bitty decision sometime 20 years or 30 years ago that I'm all right and ready for heaven? I wonder. Salvation isn't just a mental thing, a brainy thing. It's a heart thing. Well, if that's number one, what's number two then, if we're going to have commitment, biblically speaking? Well, it says you're to love your neighbor as yourself. And when we talk about neighbors, I do involve that. I think that involves a family. God first, family. Family. Oh, no, business. There you go, fellas. You want to argue with God, don't you? And we're going to have to stand before God and give an account. Because we got to see it one way, and God's way doesn't really mean that much. Well, then you're not really committed. We're trying to explain biblically commitment. And it's important that we see this. Others, a family. And would you believe I haven't come to jobs yet, man? Well, you better believe you need to worry. I understand that. But I'm talking from a biblical viewpoint. God first, and then family and friends or neighbors, whatever, they're second. Come on, love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah. And thirdly, that we might minister spiritually to others. Oh, come on. I want to prove that to you. See, the Bible speaks about priorities. I have my priorities. I have my schedule. Fine, does it coincide with the Word of God? Well, I don't know about that. Well, I think we're going to have to know about that. You see, some people have the idea, and I'm not trying to be unkind. I really am not. Listen, if I come to church and I put some money in it, and, well, I listen to the sermon, what more do you expect of me? Huh? What more do you expect of me? Biblical commitment expects a lot more than that. It is service. That is to spiritually minister to others. Oh, no, I haven't been to school. I can't talk. You can't talk. Huh. You can talk a streak about other things. What about the things of God? Do you speak to anybody? Well, listen, and I really may be cutting my own throat. It's one thing to come to church to hear sermons. Actually, you can take the sermon and say, I think he's crazy. But you see, it's one thing to do this, but another thing is to be not here only, but out there. Oh, yeah, now come on, preacher. You get out there. I do get out when I can. But I am to teach you that you might be able to get out there and speak. These things are good, but it wants not a place of speaking. This matter of giving a buck across the sea is good. But it doesn't dismiss your responsibility spiritually, privately, to speak to people about the Lord Jesus. That's no excuse to send it over there and you don't do it here. Oh, you see, I come to church here and I give some money here. That isn't what the Bible speaks about. That's good. There's a place for that. You have to do that for social clubs. But he expects holiness of life. Godliness. I've often wondered about these people who believe they can be spiritually perfect here in this world. I like to talk to their wives. I like to talk to the husbands. Holiness of life. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. If you don't have peace, the context is you need to have peace. That is peace with the Lord. And then it says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Godliness. Are you a godly person? See, well, it depends what you mean by godliness. Well, I think we can have a good time with the Ten Commandments and have the way of the Master and use it for evangelism. But I tell you, I don't look at the Ten Commandments as only a means of evangelism. I look at the Ten Commandments as a way of life. In fact, the matter is, since I have a few minutes, let's turn in our hymnals again, rather than to Exodus account, but let's turn to hymnal because it's just abbreviated so beautifully in the front of the hymnal. You say, well, what are you talking about? I'm talking about that God expects of us godliness and holiness. And would you give me how I can be a godly person? You say, well, the commandments. All right. You say, you have no other gods before me. Oh, by the way, it's Roman numeral 9 in the front of the hymnal. Roman numeral 9, But there they are, the Ten Commandments. You say, well, I know them. Hey, but do you practice them? Now, I know that without the Lord Jesus and the Spirit of God, we can't do this, my friends. I understand it. But they're there. And this is God's Word. And you know, it's easy to have other idols. Break the very first commandment. You can bust that first commandment so easy. This is my concern. This is what turns me on. This is what excites me. This is what I spend my money on. Don't tell a wife. But this is what I do. This is my thing. But the first commandment says, as a way of life, don't have any other gods before him. Boy, where does that put our sports realm? Our hobbies. No, don't be talking that. What about our cars? You know, I come to a place in a country, boy. You know, if I were to drive my Ford tractor back in my home area, those guys would laugh. They'd roll on the ground. No, not Ford tractors. It's got to be a John Deere or, if you have to, a red one. But not one of a blue thing. And they'd laugh me out of town. It's either John Deere or it's Farmall, International Harvester. Now, what are you telling us that for? Because we're so dead set. The only one, the best ones in the whole world. The car, the Ford's the best car in the whole world. See, that's ridiculous. Well, that's the way I see it. And it has to be right. Well, if you're not careful, you're just worshiping, and I tell you, the Republicans are right. These Democrats, Republicans. It was my God, as a young man, politics was my religion. So don't think that I don't know what I'm talking about. So what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say is that we can be committed and violate the commandments of God in the very first one before we even start out. And we expect that God's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou in to rest. You've been a good boy. You've been a good girl. Now the second one about making graven image. I walk in your home, can I see pictures of Solomon's head of Christ? Ooh, there's... We were just saying about a religious program that obeys the commandments. They think they are commandment worshipers. And I was shocked. I just was going through to see a certain channel or something, and I hit this one channel, and there's the back of the speaker, there's Solomon's head of Christ. And they're commandment people. Am I exaggerating? No, I'm not. Because it violates, and why don't they know this? Well, I know the Ten Commandments as a way of life. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Boy, that's exciting. Lord God, I want to serve you the best I know how, and I'm going to listen to the word and obey your word. And he says, you do that, and I'll bless you and your family. And third and fourth generation. Now we got to be careful. So I don't worship that picture, then take it down. Because this is the second commandment. And it may be, it's only a man's idea anyway. You're an artist. You got to watch artists. Not all of them, but you got to watch. Got to watch preachers too. Well, what about the third one? Well, taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh. I made a vow, but I busted it. You did. Yep. What'd you do? Well, you know what happens in marriage. It's no longer. But you said, you took that before God. Didn't I hear that God in Numbers and Deuteronomy says, vows are not flexible, they're not to be broken, you're going to be held accountable for it. And he says, I hate it. If you think you're going to dissolve this, you say, boy, you need to preach that. You need to preach it to your own home. And I said, yes, I do. And you need to preach it to your home, because we find it everywhere. I mean, the statistics, if I want to give you boring statistics and say how many people live together and not married, and I go on, and how many marriages broke up, or you say, I don't want to hear those statistics. Neither do I. But they're horrible, even among Bible, so-called Bible people. What about the fourth one? Well, oh, come on, the Sabbath day. That word Sabbath is the day, it means rest. It's a way of life. You say, God expects holiness and godliness, a way of life. He expects us, when it comes to the fourth one, that it's not our day, it's the Lord's day, and we've got to be careful about it, because we can do anything and everything we want to do and think that we get away with it because we're under grace or under the law. You know, something like that. I want to tell you something. We're going to give an account. It is a time, the Lord's day is for worship and for service. Not to hunker down, but for worship and service. It is also rest from your regular job, of course. But some people don't even take time to worship. It's their day. No, it's not your day, it's not my day, it's the Lord's day. And that he wants us to do, as the fourth commandment says, is the way of life and godliness and holiness, that we remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And our Sabbath day is the first day of the week. It's the Lord's day, the day of resurrection. That's what we commemorate. See, I don't need to hear this, preacher. You don't. How come I see that we have just kind of forgotten that this is what God wants of us, and as a way of life, it demonstrates what we really, the kind of people that we really are. Now, so far, I want to say to you that we've looked at the love of God is first, and then your neighbor, and then and spiritual ministries, and I'm coming down to the word jobs. But speaking for the Lord Jesus, and then we go on down to honor your father and your mother. Nah, put them away. Well, that may be, you have to do that, of course. Thy days, you want to live a long, happy life? Yes. Well, then be careful about how you treat mom and dad. Oh, come on. Fourth one? How about the fifth one, I mean? What about the sixth one? Thou shalt not kill. And if you look at a person with hate, you've killed him. When God, the Lord Jesus, explains this to us. The matter of committing adultery. You can do that by heart adultery. How about stealing? Lying about your neighbor? Or coveting? And the last one. I'm not giving a message on the commandments, but I'll tell you one thing. They shouldn't get old if you believe that God wants it as a way of life. Now about our jobs. And they're important. But we got to get our priorities right. What's the difference between want or needs and wants? Anybody ever talk to you about the difference between needs and wants? Some of us don't seem to understand the words. Needs, like you need air to breathe, you know that. You need food and water. You need shelter and so forth. Yeah, there are needs. But what are wants? And that's, I had an Amish man, actually, he did a good job on me, I must admit. He admonished me. I was doing something for him, and I had my little trailer, and I got through. I said, I want to put one of these cow mats in my trailer so the animals don't slide all around. I put straw in it. He said, well, we always want something more, don't we? We always want something more. Always want something more. If our jobs are only for the wants, it's going to really bend us out of shape, fellas. I have a guy here, he preaches this, so I've got to tell what he preaches. He said, you know, if you want a happy marriage, Don't forget to fix the faucets. In fact, the matter is, guys, we can say, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And she can say, yeah, the faucet needs to be fixed. And that's what I'm trying to say this morning. We can say, I love the Lord, I know the Lord, I'm a Christian, and I go to church and I give money for the church. And what more can you expect? He said, I want you to serve me. I want you to serve me. I want you to talk about me. I want you to witness for me. I want you to be committed for me, to me. Lock, stock, and barrel. All these other things that you lined up as priorities and your schedules, do they match out with the Word of God? Hey, it's not a very popular subject, is it? But I know that in work, there's people who are really committed. I know that in the services, there are people that they're military-minded. They're really, really committed. I know that there are people who are church people, and they're committed as far as the church, but I don't know about this commitment, biblically speaking, about talking about others. There's such a thing as what you do in and what you do out. In fact, 2 Thessalonians speaks about it. It says, you know, they had in the church of Thessalonica, they had a little problem. What was their problem back there? Well, the problem is this, that people weren't going out to serve the Lord. And they called it this matter of he that does not work should not eat. Well, the necessity, and they would do the things that are inside the church, and you say, that's important, but that was their only thing, inside, not outside. Inside, they got the place where they were speaking against one another, talking about one another, about the preacher, about the people, and they went out there where they ought to be out there serving the Lord. I'll maybe get to that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 sometime. The Lord expects us to be fruitful. And we do have a task. And I'm saying, the Bible speaks a lot about this business of commitment. And it's not a very popular subject, friends, because it crosses our grain. And we don't need to do that. We're happy the way it is. Don't bother me. But a hymn that we have, I believe, should encourage us. And I hope it will. As we look at this last hymn, it's hymn number 368. And it has, Lord, thou lovest the cheerful giver. And we're talking about out. We're talking about the matter of the Lord has given us with gifts and graces in third stanza. And so may we heed thy church's call, and gladly in all times and places give to thee who givest all. Thou hast bought us, and no longer can we claim to be our own. I'm looking at the third stanza. Ever free and ever stronger, we shall serve thee, Lord, alone. It's 368.
Grant us
sing the last and remain standing for a word of prayer and benediction.
Senor, thou hast freely given all the blessings we enjoy. Earthly store and bread of heaven, love and peace without alloy. Humbly now we bow before thee and our all to thee resign. For the kingdom, power, and glory are, O Lord, forever thine.
Our Father, we're grateful that you've seen fit that our blessed Lord Jesus, our Creator, our Savior, our Sustainer, our Friend. Our Father, we're grateful this morning for our Lord Jesus. Help us to look upon His sacrifice and to realize that we are to be followers of the Lord Jesus and we're to be obedient. And our Father, we're in our flesh, would hamper and we would excuse. Help us to be obedient to the Word. And as you leave this morning, I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and always. Please be seated.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.